One second, you're about to give up. We want to turn that volume down a little bit. Warren, the four marks of the church? Huh? Oh, unity and holiness. Oh, yeah, I just did the... we didn't do the... Well, that's unity and holiness. Okay. Well, let's start with a prayer. Make it official in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, yes. Now, the thing is, the holiness, we talked about the holiness, I believe. So we are on the Catholicity of the Church, then. What do we mean when we say the Church is holy? All right, the Church is holy because God is holy. The Church is Catholic because God is Catholic. So we'll go through remember the same reason for all four of the marks. Church is one because God is one. Church is holy because God is holy. We did those. And then the church is Catholic because God is Catholic. So it's one of the common sense teachings. Remember we say there's four signs of the Catholic Church, or the true church, and that Catholicity means universal. So that if God is going to make... God is Catholic. Is the reason for the mark of a Catholicity? Because God made all things. It goes with holiness. He made all things for himself. So when we say the church is one, God is because God is one. There's only one God, three persons in one God. So there's 12 articles in one creed. And then one pope, one set of sacraments, one sacrifice. And then the holiness comes from that unity. Remember, the most important mark is unity. And then after unity, the sanctity of the church. So then that the unity of the church produces holiness. So that the church's sacraments and the church's sacrifice make it possible for us to be holy. So we do not mean that when we say the church is holy, we don't mean that there are saints in the church. That doesn't prove the holiness of the church. It is that there is something in the church that makes us holy. Now, this unity and holiness has to be wherever the church is. So we take the unity and holiness and we make it Catholic, which means everywhere. Wherever there is church, there must be this unity and this holiness. So when we say that the church is Catholic, it does not mean that Catholics are everywhere in the world. Couldn't mean that, because when the Catholic Church was founded, it was on Pentecost Sunday, and it was Catholic on that day. And on Pentecost Sunday, the only Catholics were 12 apostles, 72 disciples, and 3,000 other people who were in the city of Jerusalem. And they were in no other place on earth. The Catholic Church was only in Jerusalem and in no other place. And yet, at that moment, the church was Catholic. All four of the marks were present on Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the Catholic Church. The mark of Catholicity says that wherever there is the church, the true church that God founded, wherever that church is, its unity and holiness must be there. So in fact, one of the many arguments against the Novus Ordo, obvious, of course, lack of unity. But it can also be argued that there is a lack of holiness and a lack of Catholicity in the new church. Catholicity is not in the new church. Because the new mass, for instance, the new theology, is not universally taught by all Novus Ordo priests. You find conservative priests, liberal priests, really liberal priests, More conservative priests. Like I just received an email, or just a note from Father Gardner in Kansas City about 8 priests that are here in Denver and in Phoenix that are interested in the Latin Mass and that contacted the Society about it, and they gave me the information so that I can contact these priests. And none of those 8 priests are the priests. Only one of those 8 priests is a priest that I already know who's interested in the Latin Mass. So there's several others that aren't even on that list that Father Gardner gave me. And so those are priests that are going to have a different belief than the extreme liberal priests who don't even believe Jesus is God. So in fact, we can say about the new church, it's not Catholic. It doesn't fulfill the definition of Catholicity, which is not something only physical. There's 2 kinds of Catholicity, by the way. Same thing with apostolicity. There's Catholicity of time and Catholicity of place. When we say Catholicity of place, which is the one I should have put first, when we say Catholicity of place, what that means is wherever there is the true church, it's the same. So that if you're in China, or if you're in Africa, or if you're in Europe, or if you're in the United States or in South America, it doesn't matter. If somebody says, I am a member of the church that is called Roman Catholic, then I know what that means. I know that that man is against homosexuality. I know that that man believes that there's this guy in white in Rome who's his boss. And I know that that man believes that God is inside of that cross-shaped building. So I know that that man who calls himself Catholic believes everything that is one about that church, and he believes in the holiness of the church. Even if he is a good Catholic guy who's a serial killer and a druggie and everything else. I'm Catholic, man. What does that mean? It means that he knows that if he wants to become holy, he has to stop doing drugs, he has to stop murdering people, he has to stop avoiding Mass on Sunday, he has to go to confession. He knows he has to go to confession. He's Catholic. Even if all the way up to the moment of his death, the priest is standing there and he says, you need to go to confession. Forget it, Father, I'm not going. He's got a maliciousness in his will, but he's still Catholic because he knows that he needs to go. I was telling you a case a few months ago. A man was dying. We visit men dying all the time. So I visit a man dying. He says, Father, I said, you realize, you know, you need to go to confession and all this. And he said, well, Father, come back when I'm feeling better. I said, well, you realize that you're dying and, you know, you're not going to be feeling better. I know, Father, but right now, I'm sorry, I don't feel like it. I just, you know, like I say, maybe when I was feeling better, but I just don't feel good right now. Come back when I feel better. And so he knows he needs to go to confession. He knows he's going to die probably without confession. He's Catholic, but he's not willing to do it. So the Catholicity of the church means that we know and believe in these 2 things, the unity and holiness, and that that is wherever a Catholic is. So that the church was Catholic on Pentecost Sunday when there were only 12 apostles and 3,000 people that followed it, and every single one of them was only in the city of Jerusalem, and there was no one else in the whole world that belonged to that church. This is a distinction from other churches, this Catholicity. You can see as we look deeper into all 4 marks, you'll discover that in the end, there's only one mark, and that's unity. If you look deeper and deeper into them, you'll discover that in the end, it's the unity that makes us holy, it's the unity that makes us Catholic, and it is the unity that is apostolic. It's the principle and key of all the 4 marks. But here we are, that this is not the case of other religions. 3 Protestants standing in the same room cannot be said to be Catholic, because they don't have precisely the same beliefs, and they can't. They can't because they believe, for instance, the Bible is given over to private interpretation. Now, we may agree in our interpretation, but it's still separate because you have your belief, He has his belief, and I have my belief. And they can change. So therefore, we're not Catholic. There's not, wherever there's Protestant, you don't have the same beliefs. Wherever there's Protestant, you don't believe in the same exact means of salvation. Maybe some little things. And there's also another minor problem. Catholicity means there can be no contradiction within themselves. No contradiction. And yet, there is all kinds of contradiction in every other religion. You will discover when analyzing deeply all four of the marks that only the Catholic Church has each one of them. So you can't say that, well, the Catholic Church, this Presbyterian Church is one and holy, it's just not apostolic. Or this other church is one and holy and Catholic, but it's not apostolic. This one's holy, Catholic, and apostolic, but it's not one. There is no other church that has any of these four marks, really. Catholic, universal, place, and time. Both are essential. Now, the reason place is first, even though I wrote it at the wrong spot, time is second. In other words, if you take a Catholic from 226 AD in Egypt, and then you take a Catholic from 1436 AD in Germany, and you take a Catholic from 2004 AD from Canada, they better believe the same thing. And if they don't, they're not members of the same church. So that this Catholicity is of place and time. We have the same beliefs, the same essential practices. There can be subtle differences. There can be secondary differences, such as differences of liturgy. How many genuflections there are. Like the Dominicans, you know, they hold their hands like this when they're saying the Mass, and we hold them like that. Remember what I was telling you last week? With Father Gertler teaching me how to say Mass, a German priest. I was standing there, and he goes, no, no, yeah, no, no, yeah, no, yeah, no, no, yeah, what? And then at one point I stopped moving. Yes, yes, no, yes, no. So, but in any case, so there can be differences of liturgy. There can be differences of secondary things, but in the essentials, it's going to be the same. So the oneness and holiness, Catholic. See how it's a stacking one on the other. The oneness and holiness must be everywhere. Now then we go to the fourth mark, apostolicity. We say it's apostolic, the church. It is one and holy, it is Catholic, it is apostolic. And of course, the normal way that we refer to apostolicity is that it goes back. It goes back to Jesus Christ. So that we can historically trace our church back to the time of the apostles. This is what the word means. So we can trace it back to the time of the apostles. So that historically, this is the physical, we call this a material way of looking at apostolicity. Then there's the formal way. The material is the stuff we're made of, and the formal is what we are. So the material way of looking at apostolicity is that, does this church, that Roman church, does it go back to Jesus Christ? Because, I mean, if we claim to be founded by Jesus Christ, there better be an historical link between 2004 and 33 AD. We discover there is. For instance, all of our popes, they're buried in Rome. From St. Peter all the way down to the present. So we've got the popes, we've got history that goes back from Jerusalem, which was the first see of the Catholic Church, then to Antioch, which was the second see of the Catholic Church, and then to Rome, which is the third and final see of the Catholic Church. Peter reigned in Jerusalem, then he reigned in Antioch, and then he reigned in Rome. And then that's where he died, and therefore the see of the church in Rome. And then for a few years, 60 years or so, in Avignon, in France. So there was a 70 years or so, approximately close to 70 years. So they call it the Babylonian captivity, because the Babylonian captivity was 70 years back in the Old Testament. But they went over to from Rome to Avignon and back to Rome again. And that this is where the see of the church, and we can trace it all the way back to Jesus Christ. That's the historical. Just like my apostolicity. I have apostolicity inside of me, Father Joseph Pfeiffer. Because Bishop Williamson and Bishop Fillet, Bishop Fillet is the one that ordained me. Bishop Williamson ordained me everything except for priest. Bishop Fillet is the one that ordained me priest. And Bishop Fillet put his hands on my head, made me a priest. And then Archbishop Lefebvre put his hands on his head, and all the way back, we can physically trace a chain all the way back to the apostles. That's an historical apostolicity. But that's not sufficient. That's the material view of apostolicity. There is the formal view, which is what apostolicity really is. And what's most important about apostolicity, one, it goes back in time, the material view, goes back to Christ. That's the material side. Well, you'll find that every human being can claim that we go back to Adam. I mean, all of us here, if we're human beings, we have the great-great-grandpa. His name's Adam. And every one of us can also say that Noah is our great... Hey, I go back to Noah. Okay. Bottom line is, material apostolicity ain't good enough. You know, Noah was a prophet. And Adam was a prophet, and I'm his son. I'm a prophet. 75 million generations later, but these are little details. And I don't happen to believe in God. That's another little detail. Okay, so it isn't sufficient to be physically traced back to Adam or to Noah or to Christ. It must be done, but it's not sufficient. That's just the material side. The formal is authority. And that's the most important part of apostolicity. Authority. Authority from Christ. The church has to have authority. Right now. I have to have a connection to Jesus Christ now. Not only a connection because I'm a validly ordained priest. Every Orthodox priest is validly ordained. Every one of them. They have the power to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. They can trade that. The same physical connection that I have to Jesus Christ, they have. But they're not apostolic. The Orthodox priest who rejects the authority of the Pope does not have authority from Christ. He doesn't have the mark. He doesn't share in the mark of apostolicity, except materially. Materially, he does, because he's a validly ordained priest. But formally, he does not. There's the formal. The formal is what a thing is. The material is the stuff it's made of. Formally, this is apostolicity. We have authority from Christ. Right now. Christ gives the authority to his church. Now, apostolicity is necessary for the true church. Absolutely necessary, because in this church there are men who are going to give instructions to other men. And no man likes listening to another man. It isn't just true that men don't like listening to women. They also don't like listening to other men. And they're not going to if they disagree, unless a higher authority comes in and says, God says you have to listen to Padre. There are many, many Catholic men that have wanted to punch me. But they can't. Because I'm a priest. I can punch them. They cannot punch me. Because God said, you get excommunicated if you do that. I don't get excommunicated for punching you. It's not even a sin. So, the thing is that there is an apostolicity which stops the man from punching Padre. Because without that divine authority, it's not going to work, because I'm just a man telling you about the four marks of the church. Why listen to me? The only reason you can listen to me is if you realize God speaks through the priest. That's apostolicity. So it is a material part. Is he really a priest? Check. Is that good enough? No. You have to also have the formal part. Is he connected to Christ? And again, you can see a thought apostolicity. What is it closely connected to? Especially the unity of Pope. What is holiness connected to? The unity of the sacraments and the sacrifice. Sacraments and the sacrifice. What is Catholicity? The unity of faith. They're the four unities. Faith, sacraments, sacrifice, under the head of the Pope. There's your other three marks. Wherever there is a Catholic, he believes. We say the word Catholic, we especially mean what we believe. We believe Jesus is God, the Pope is the head of the Church. We have the unity of faith. In our holiness, we have the unity of sacraments and sacrifice. And in our apostolicity, we're under the Pope. And all of them are essential. Absolutely essential if we're going to save our souls. Because without membership inside, a living membership inside of this true church, we can't go to heaven. So these four marks are essential for us individually. I have to have oneness, holiness, Catholicity, and apostolicity inside of me, even if I'm a layman, in order to save my soul. As a priest, my apostolicity goes two ways. I accept the authority of my superiors, and I exercise authority over you. In the faithful, the apostolicity goes one way. You accept the authority of the priests, the bishops, and the Pope. But you must still be a part of it, or else you're not members of the true church. You must have all four. And then I've got to go hear confessions and relate, so we'll go ahead and say a prayer here.